It's April Fool's Day.
Yay.
My brother, his name is Jeff, and we're just 18 months apart. And so we were pretty close growing up, and we loved April Fool's Day. Like, we loved pranks. We loved, like, we had April Fool's Day, I think, every month, like March Fool's Day, June Fool's Day. Like, we just really, really loved pranks. My mom was a librarian, and she brought home, like, she'd bring home prank books for us. Ammunition for one another. So, happy April Fool's Day to everybody. And my, how, like, my kids, when they were growing up, we always had, like, some sort of food, you know, that was a surprise. So, a taco that was actually a dessert or that sort of thing.
We're talking about the ways brains can fool us and how we can write shared narratives to help students process hard things. Make sure to check the links in the show notes because we're sharing some helpful resources. This is Sticky Hope.
There was this April Fool's Day when my brother and I were young, upper elementary probably, and I did the whole, like, put a pitcher of water above his door in his bedroom. But I knew that my mom would be really, really upset if water went all over. So I put towels down on the ground. So, you know, like, I don't know how, like, really, you know.
Yeah.
But I did not want to get in trouble. So there's towels all over the ground. So, of course, Jeff goes upstairs. He sees the towels. He looks up on top of his door and he doesn't go in and he just leaves it. Well, later, my mom comes up the stairs and she's like, "Why are there towels all over here?" And she opens my brother's door and the water just goes down on top of her. Like, you know, like, she's really kind of to blame because she gave us the book straight out of there. And it's like one of those memories that I will remember. My brother and I will remember for a long time. My mom hated water. Like, she didn't want to ever go swimming, like water balloons. The hose is like, you knew not to spray, mom. So here she is soaked. So I always think of that on April Fool's Day. But today, what we kind of wanted to talk about was, like, don't let your brain fool you, because our brains, they are really powerful and can tell us, like, a lot of stories. You have a student, Philippe, who has this great story about, like, the story that he let his brain tell him.
Yeah. And so Philippe was in my kindergarten class like 7 years ago, and there was this one morning that he didn't appear in class, and so I thought he was absent, and I marked him out for the day. And suddenly one of the office staff, like, came running in my room, and they were like, "Is Philippe here today?" And I was like, "No, he must be absent." And they were like, "He got stuck on the bus." And I was like, "What?" And my kindergartner, who, like, was new to the country, did not speak great English, had fallen asleep on the bus on the way to school, and no one noticed. And he was found in the bus garage because he, God love him, got himself off of that bus. And when he got to me, like, tears streaming down his face, he starts to tell me the story. And he says, like, he woke up. And he was so scared because it was cold. It was winter. There was no one there. And he didn't know where he was. And when he got to the door, you know, like, you need the bus to be on for the door to open easily, right? And he got scared at first. And then in his, like, little broken English kindergarten voice, he said, but I told myself I can do hard things. And he got the door open and he found a grown-up to help.
Wait a minute, Becca. How did he know to tell himself that?
"I can do hard things" is a phrase that I've taught my students forever, for as long as I can remember, because it really started with my third graders who would get so easily frustrated and stop trying. They didn't want to continue to try because of fear of imperfection, right? And so I started teaching them to tell their brain, like, stop. Now I say stop the I can't monster. But back then I would say stop letting your brain go there and tell yourself you can do hard things, because then you will. And so when I transitioned down to kindergarten, it was the same. I started from day one, like, something this class does is when things get hard, we tell our brains we can do hard things. And it has evolved. There's whole songs that we sing now about it. But because Philippe had started hearing the I can do hard things mantra, this belief system that, well, this belief that we have in ourselves, like, months ago, he was able to take that and apply it, transfer that knowledge and that belief to this, like, real life scary situation and be successful, right? Like, this little scrawny little 5-year-old dude, like, got that door open and found an adult because he stopped and told himself, I can do hard things. And then was, like, then able to retell that story to me in a way that he knew that that was why, right? Like, the metacognition happening in his brain was remarkable, and his ability to stay grounded and, like, okay, like, I don't know what's happening or where I am, but I can do hard things, so I'm going to figure this out. Like, what a beautiful testament to the power of what we tell ourselves, the stories we tell ourselves.
It is. And I think the more that we can remember that our brains want meaning, right? Like, they're trying to make sense of things. But that doesn't mean that every thought we have is true. And so what you did with Philippe then was you created a shared narrative, right? Like, that, so that, because you really wanted him to be able to go home and share the story that truly put Philippe as the hero of the story. Will you talk a little bit about that shared narrative experience?
Yeah. So, yeah, as the day went on, I started to watch him get more anxious about the end of the day coming, which made total sense, right? Like, he had to get back on that bus at the end of the day. And he was terrified of the idea of being stuck there again. He knew he had successfully gotten himself off of the bus once, right? But he never wanted to have to figure that out again. And so as the day progressed, I realized I had to kind of help him. And I needed him to know that he was the reason he was okay. And if he could keep his brain focused on that he would still be okay after getting home off the bus. And so I scooped him into my lap and I asked him to tell me the story again. And as he started to tell the story, I kind of talked over him. Like, I kind of wrote over the story that he was telling himself, because he was adding a lot of the fear, totally naturally and understandably, into the story. But I was pulling out the facts, like, you were on the bus to school. You fell asleep. It was really scary. Like, you fell asleep. Everyone was gone, right? You woke up and you were scared. You realized you were alone. You told yourself you can do hard things, right? And I listed the story in, like, these really short sentences. And, like, we should attach a picture of the story. I have a picture of the story that I wrote for him. And I, like, wrote it out with him after and drew, like, I'm not an artist, but I drew little pictures for him so that he could know each part of that story. And he clutched that story as he walked out my door, because that was his reminder that he could do hard things, that he did hard things and he will do them again if he needs to. And this is what happened, but it's not what's going to happen every time. And the power of writing that story together not only was really strong for Philippe, but for the other 19 kids in my class who listened to me encourage and write that narrative with him, saw him as this really strong, incredible kid that he is, right? Like, it was a really hard day for him because something truly scary happened, and he was okay, and we worked through it together, and we rallied around as a community to support him through it.
Beth, I'm pretty sure you wrote an article inspired by Philippe for Choice Literacy. So we'll open that to make that free for our listeners, and we'll put a link there completely worth taking a look at. And like Becca said, she's got like the story, like you'll be able to see the story that she wrote that Philippe was able to take home. And it's just this powerful reminder of the stories that we tell our brains. I think that it's not just kindergartners whose brains can fool them. I think it's true for teachers too. And so sometimes I think that, like, I've told myself, like, if a student has dysregulated, sometimes I feel like I failed, or maybe I'm not cut out to be a teacher. And these are not thoughts that are serving me well. They're not helping me become a stronger teacher. Do you have this too, Becca?
For sure. As a teacher facing new things all the time, right? We're facing an unprecedented time in education, and it is so easy to get lost in the rabbit hole of, I'm not cut out for this. This isn't what I signed up for, and I'm not made to do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm a failure because this happened. And when you get stuck in that rabbit hole, it can get harder and harder to come out of it the further you go. And so a tool that we work really hard to use is to, like, catch yourself when you're starting to say some of those things to yourself, catch the story you're telling yourself, and shift it right over the story that you're telling your brain, and turn it into something that is helpful and that is true, right? Because it's not true that you're a failure, but you can help your brain pick out the truth.
Definitely. But in order to do that, we have to slow down and actually, like, recognize the thoughts that we're thinking that are not serving us well. And so I just would like to offer an invitation to kind of, like, pay attention and let's catch the thoughts that aren't serving us well and then offer a different thought, rewrite it in order to continue, like, just growing as teachers and to recognize, like, hey, I don't have to be perfect to be positioned to do this work. Some days are rough. Maybe you've had a day, complete with a capital D, in your classroom. We understand. We've been there too, and we want to help. The best thing on a rocky day is a good, old-fashioned care package. At first, that seemed impossible. But then we remembered Walt Disney said, "It's fun to do the impossible." So we rolled up our sleeves and put together a soul-soothing care package for teachers. We call it the Sticky Hope Kit and would love to send it to you. Just go to stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit. There's no spaces, just all together, stickyhope.com/stickyhopekit.